Please turn to page 112 in your books or on your device, wherever you are in the service there. So today's epistle reading was read a few weeks ago, and I explained it then. So today gives us an opportunity to go a little bit deeper. Notice that there's a sort of list of sins and vices here that Paul is asking the Christians of that time and of our time to not only avoid, but completely eradicate from their lifestyle and from their mind. So let's look at those. So it says, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are kind of serious sins and vices. And then there's a second list later that says, anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk, and lying. So there are some three major sins or things that would completely outside of the Christian way of life. The one would be heresy, murder, and adultery. Those aren't even mentioned here because that would make you not a Christian anymore. I mean, Christians. Heresy means you're not believing in Christ, or you're believing something different, so you're kind of out of the picture. Adultery and home wrecking and stuff like that is completely, you know, foreign, I mean, against the Christian doctrine. And what was the third one that I said? Murder. You know, those aren't things you can just go to confession and say, you know, okay, I had an evil thought and I murdered someone. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. It doesn't work that way. Okay. So not counting those three biggies, although you could probably see. No, so fornication is a code word that means all kinds of sexual immorality. And St. Paul uses the word impurity here to indicate all those other things, which is shameful. He says somewhere else, shameful to even talk about, shameful to even name. But sometimes you have to touch slightly the edge of the unclean so that we can protect ourselves from it. So that's what he's talking about, all those things, which we're not going to name here. And then passion. Passion, look at the first, it's P-A-S-S. Another word that starts with P-A-S-S is passive, okay? It's easier to understand in Greek the word pathos. That's the word for passion. It means something that happens to you. You actually suffer it. And if you think of anger, for example, You aren't positively angry. Usually anger comes on you, you know, kind of, you know, it's this sudden boiling of the blood or whatever. Or, you know, if it's lust or whatever, these things, they kind of move us rather than us, you know, sort of initiating and moving them. So that's why they're called passions. They kind of act upon us. So he's saying, let's remove passion, evil passions. Let's remove evil desire. And he says evil desire here because there is such a thing as good desire. The prophet Daniel in the Old Testament is called a man of desires. Not evil desires, but of good desires. It's possible. And as I've taught little children, and it's easier for children to get this, change what you want. Change what you desire. You actually can say, okay, you know what? This particular thing that I'm hankering after, not good. But change your mind. Want something else. Easier said than done. Kids do it magnificently. So he's saying remove evil desire and covetousness, which is greed. And he's equating greed with idolatry because the idolater sets up his, you know, statues or whatever they had back then, the pagans, and they hoped, you know, in the help of these gods that they set up. And someone who is covetous and just wants to acquire and gain and whatever is because they hope, you know, they put their hopes in their riches or whatever. So those things, really bad. Then there's the next group, which are also bad, but not so bad. And these are things that kind of more internal stuff, like anger, wrath. Now, is there a difference between anger and wrath? Anger is something that kind of your blood boils, it clouds your mind. It kind of comes, boom, you know, you might react and do something. Wrath is more premeditated. You know, when someone enacts their wrath on someone, they've probably thought about it a lot, made plans, and, you know, they're going to get you. And so there's a difference there. Malice. means remembering wrongs, okay? Being resentful and holding grudges. We don't want to do that. Slander, the Greek word for slander was blasphemia. Blasphemia is a little bit richer word. It can mean, you know, speaking ill and of God. And that's a big thing in Orthodox countries because they curse. When they curse, they say something in the mother of God and something in Jesus or something like that. And it becomes, you know, a worse thing. Where here we don't say that kind of stuff. We just say bad words, you know. But in any case, that's what that means. And then foul talk, obviously. And then lying. He says, don't lie to each other either. So this was kind of like a don't do lesson. Don't do these things. And in other, you know, lessons, he says what the virtues are. And it's kind of timely that this lesson came up, although it wasn't quite planned this way. But most of us who became Christians, unlike the Colossians today, most of us kind of found ourselves already Orthodox Christians when we started thinking, or Christians of some sort, you know, we started thinking about, you know, serious things. Most of us who were baptized as infants didn't make that renunciation of these things consciously. And maybe we grew up touching these things and involved in these things, as, you know, teenagers do and young people do and all that kind of stuff. But here we were already Orthodox Christians, already members of Christ, you know. We didn't get that opportunity to positively renounce. Although I think, you know, the serious adults, when they look at their life, they say, you know, when I was whatever, I made that conscious decision that I was going to, you know, actually follow Christ. But anyway, today we're going to do like we have been doing for the last few years. At the time of the creed, we're going to do the reaffirmation of our baptismal vows and renunciations that we made. Actually, for many of us, our sponsors, our godparents, made on our behalf. Here's an opportunity for us to just kind of affirm that. We'll just affirm it together, and we'll let the priests, you know, lead us in that later on in the service. So let's stand and pray now.